The first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 26 and verses 17 to 25. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named that Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, we will flourish in the land." From there they went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. The second reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of these you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Amen.
Donegal town is not very big. It has a town square and a few streets leading off it, where shops and offices stretch for about 100 metres or so. For many years, John Ward was a solicitor in the town, and he represented me some years ago after a road accident. John was very well known in Donegal, of course, because of his work. Some years ago on holiday in Spain, John picked up a hitchhiker and soon discovered that she was a student and liked traditional Irish music, but found it very difficult to get traditional Irish music in Spain. And John said to her, "Write to me whenever I get home and I'll send you the addresses of people you can order tapes from." It was a long time ago. "What shall I write?" she asked. And John said, "Just put John Ward, Donegal Town, Ireland. That'll get me." And the hitchhiker, of course, looked at him and couldn't believe it. No street, no house number, no postcode. Surely that address would not get to him. But she wrote the letter, and he did receive it, and he did reply. 62 Hipney Gate Road, 33 Highgrove Drive, 30 Shelling Hill Road, Collybacky, are three of the 13 different addresses I've had during my lifetime, beginning on the Albert Bridge Road in Belfast. And all of us have an address, a place where we reside, a place where we live, a place we call home. We may move on, and of course, Methodist ministers from time to time move on, but for all of us, this earthly address is temporary. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ian read for us Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, a town gone mad with sexual immorality, with dishonesty, with corruption, with false gods to worship, with false values in life. And Paul says to the church there, do not associate with this wrongdoing. You should no longer be darkness with these people, but be light to these people. For the light of the world shines within you. Walk, therefore, as children of light. He says, in effect, don't live at the address of wrongdoing. Move away from it. And whenever sometimes people have asked me over the years, what is the best way to avoid sinning? I say, get away from it. The Bible talks about the armor of God, yes, but be not in its company is your best defense. Leave a deceit which leads to disgrace, which leads to despair, and take the power which leads to purpose, which leads to peace within your soul. Paul says, please God, not other people. Now, you and I know how difficult it is to please everybody. It is impossible to please everybody within the family, within your workplace, within the church. And perhaps you've heard the story of an old man who's walking with a boy and a donkey. And the old man is leading the donkey and the boy is walking behind. And some people standing at the side of the road say, that old man is very foolish not to ride the donkey. So the old man got on the donkey and the boy walked behind. And a little bit further on, people were saying, it's cruel to make that child walk. So the old man got off the donkey and put the boy on the donkey, and he walked and the child rode. And a little bit further on, people said, what a lazy child. He should make him walk. So they both rode on the donkey. And then people further on said, it's cruel to the donkey for such a burden to be carried by the old man and the boy. So they both got off. The man was last seen carrying the donkey down the road. We can't please everyone. It is impossible. We can't please everyone all the time. And if we try too hard to do that, we'll end up confused and frustrated. But if you and I are followers of Jesus, we must please God, not other people. For if we have the approval of God, then the opinions of other people will take their proper perspective and will not disturb us. Paul, the writer of the Ephesians letter in our Bibles, traveled with God, he resided with God, he lived with God, he sought God's approval. And Isaac, in the Old Testament, traveled with God also, and in Genesis 26, we read of him that he pleased God so much that God honored him. He prospered him so that others became jealous. When the Philistines filled in the wells Abraham and others had dug, Isaac dug the wells again and renamed them. And he went up to Beersheba and God appeared to him. And Genesis 26 verse 25 says to us, he pitched his tent there. He built an altar there. He dug a well there. A tent, an altar, a well. Our theme for this morning, a tent, an altar, a well. Three things that symbolize pilgrimage, a tent, worship, an altar, resources for growth and for living, a well. This is July. And I wonder, hands up if you've ever been camping. Hands up if you've ever been camping in your life. Yes, nearly everybody has been camping. Whether it's been Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade or Scouts or Guides or Family Holidays or Castlewellan Holiday Week or luxury glamping in France. You remember the good old days whenever earwigs got into everything and there was a constant smell of damp clothes? It's not like that nowadays for modern campers. And maybe you will be camping over the next couple of months. A tent is a temporary dwelling. We live in houses, but the tent is a temporary dwelling. But I could ask you this question this morning, where have you pitched your tent of life? A A tent is a temporary dwelling. It symbolizes pilgrimage. It symbolizes traveling, a temporary stay. But is your tent in this temporary life pitched in God? It used to be that whenever you were buying a house, you paid a mortgage through the bank or building society once a month. And if you failed to make a payment, you had 14 days grace. I'm not sure if that still is the case. Or if you failed to tax your car on the first of the month, you got 14 days grace. We live in a period of God's grace, God's unmerited and undeserved favor. Grace from a bank, grace from a building society is not really grace. It's just a temporary, reprieve. And if you don't pay up after 14 days, then you'll have to pay the penalty. But in God's grace, Christ has already paid the penalty, paid the price, paid the debt owed by us for our sin and wrong. And Paul says to Titus chapter 2, verse 12, grace teaches us to refuse sin, refuse wrong, live soberly, live righteously. God's grace brings freedom. Not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. And God has given us time, a period of grace, if you like, to respond to him before Christ returns as friend, if we love him, or as judge, if we don't. How have you responded to God's grace, his forgiving love? Where have you pitched your tent? Is it in God? A tent symbolizes pilgrimage. Secondly, an altar symbolizes worship. Isaac pitched his tent, a temporary home, and his servants built an altar, a place to worship God, a place to talk with God, a place to talk to God and listen for his words of guidance. I wonder, do you talk to cars? Heather used to say, I talk to cars, because I'm driving along the road and the person in front stopped suddenly and said, what is that clown doing? Or you're saying to people, I wish that guy would go a bit faster or a bit slower. And we talk to cars, we talk to inanimate objects. Golfers talk to their golf balls. Keep right, don't go in there, don't. And bowlers, I've heard you, bowlers talk to their bowls as they run down the green or the mat after them. Go on, slow down, whoa. And fishermen on a boat or on a bank talk to the fish that they're trying to catch. Come on. We do it all the time. We talk to objects that can't hear us. We even talk to animals that can't really understand us. But do we talk to God, who made us and understands us better than we can ever know? The God who made us, the God who wants to remake us. Do we talk to God and we worry and we get anxious about exam results or about a fear of flying or about illness? Or we won't talk to God. A sign on the church wayside pulpit said, if your knees are knocking, why not kneel on them? Do we talk to God? It has been said, why worry when you can pray? But many people seem to live as if they're saying, why pray when you can worry? And if you worry, are you really trusting in God or not leaving your burden with him? What is the line of the old song? If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Isaac pitched a tent, a symbol of pilgrimage. He built an altar, a symbol of worship and communion with God. And thirdly, Isaac dug a well, a symbol of living, of growth and life-giving water. Billy Graham, in his books and in his teaching, always said we need to dig three wells every day. Read the Bible, pray every day, join the church. Read the Bible, pray every day, join the church. Read the Bible, pray every day, join the church. We need the Word of God. We need prayer. We need fellowship and opportunities for witness in order to live and grow as Christians. Three wells to be dug every day. Read the Bible, pray every day, join the church. And if we are digging those wells, then surely we will know the Lord's blessing in our lives. A tent, an altar, a well. So this morning, where have you pitched your tent? Your temporary earthly home, is it pitched in Jesus? Were you worshipping in the altar of life? Is Jesus first with you, even before your own life? And where have you dug the wells of life and living? Are you drinking the living water which Jesus came to bring and to be through his Spirit? Let us pray together. Loving Father God, we thank you that your word teaches us every time we open its pages, as you illuminate for us what you want us to know. Help us, Lord, to be open to learning from you and from your word. And help us every day to know you better and better and feel your Spirit working within us.